You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Is a New York Jet. 1 year, up to $15 million, and a free Taylor ham and egg sandwich, courtesy of a fan. Hayden, he played 167 snaps last year before his ACL injury, but this gives Aaron Rodgers a different body type, a different wide receiver type than he's had on his roster, especially during his time in New York.
Right. I think when we watch some of these highlights here, when we talk about wide receiver size with all the draft prospects, this is kind of a reminder of why the size matters here. I mean, he has some reps here where he just absolutely throws people right off him. Obviously, we see that at the contested catch point, but also in short yardage, like right there, that's a first down because of his size. So this is a reminder of how crazy good of an athlete Mike Williams is when he's healthy. Obviously, that's the huge question mark. He's had back injuries before because he jumps up 5 feet in the air and lands right in his back. Last year, super fluke injury. But before that, in the first three games of the season, he was on pace for his highest yards per out run. Obviously, that's a small sample. But like you said, to me, this is just the perfect scheme fit. You have Garrett Wilson to do all the underneath stuff, similar to Keenan Allen, obviously way more juice than Keenan Allen. And then you have Mike Williams on the outside, like somewhat in the MVS role if Aaron Rodgers is into that, but he's so much better than that, way more physical than that. And I think this is going to be the 1-2 punch to kind of settle in with the Jets. They kind of addressed all of their needs. And now at number 10, it's best player available. If they want to go with Brock Bowers, sure. But I think that this Mike Williams signing here kind of makes this entire skill group a little bit more settled.
He's an old school X. You know, I mean, just go back to the 2021 season. He tied for the third most contested targets in the NFL. I would call him like an adequate separator. He's certainly not a bad separator.
Adequate. That's good.
Right. Yeah. But he's obviously best in like isolated situations, which, you know, with Garrett Wilson, the opposite side of you, you're probably going to get a number of those jump balls, as you talked about, contested catches, creating that like sliver of separation. And then at times you don't even need that separation when you have a good quarterback who can put the ball into postage stamp corners. And all you need is just like a leverage or positioning advantage. And that helps when you're naturally bigger than every single cornerback in the league. So from that standpoint, I absolutely love this fit because not every quarterback wants to throw to wide receivers that have corners in their hip pockets or right next to them. But Aaron Rodgers trusts his arm and the angles that he can get the ball to him, and that's absolutely going to help. I do want to bring up the injury stuff because while in the last few years, again, let's say prior to 2023, he did play 15 games, 15 games, 16 games, 13 games. We know from playing fantasy football, it wasn't that simple, right? I mean, he had an ankle injury in 2022, a hamstring injury in 2020, back injury in 2017. We know he had that awful neck injury back in college in 2015. And so he has statistically played in a lot of games and hasn't missed a ton of games. But we know that he was questionable a lot of weeks heading into games, and you might not get 100% Mike Williams. But regardless of that, it does speak to his toughness to get on the field and still produce in those environments.
Super tough player. Also, the players that get injured the most often are the guys that get the ball the most, and the good players get the ball the most. So that's kind of why Mike Williams does that. And also, he takes some huge hits over the middle and near the sideline, all that stuff. With Aaron Rodgers, the other thing that's so beautiful about Aaron Rodgers' game is right before the snap, if he looks over to his right or to his left, and there's something about the wide receiver cornerback matchup, he'll just say, screw the play. Yeah. That's my play right there. And I think that he can do that type of stuff with you've seen it with Devontae Adams, obviously with Garrett Wilson. That was going to be the plan. I also think you can do that with Mike Williams, depending on the kind of size matchup there. So really love that. I think he's a tough player, battles through the injuries. The ACL injury was at least earlier in the season here. He has basically the entire like 12 months, 11 months to kind of get back for week one. And even if he is injury prone, if we want to label him that, which I think is a little bit unfair, I think for the Jets, it makes sense. You're all in on this year. I mean, yeah, we're not really injury prone left tackles, right tackles, your quarterback's injury prone, your wide receiver's injury prone, your running back just tore his ACL. Everyone's got issues. But if they all could stay healthy, you can dream of a ceiling here. And I actually think that this year's Jets roster is better than the one it was last year. Oh, obviously, totally. You're coming back from injuries, but last year I was a little bit kind of skeptical about the entire offense just because it's Garrett Wilson with the first time with Aaron Rodgers. The wide receiver group I thought was really tragic. Now I see Tyler Conklin's a good player. Mike Williams, a really good number two wide receiver. Garrett Wilson with another year under his belt. I think that this offensive line is a little bit deeper. So I understand why the Jets are the team to take on the risk of Mike Williams because the ceiling is there. And if Aaron Rodgers isn't healthy, if Mike Williams isn't healthy, well, guess what? This year is going into the garbage can anyways.
Yeah, it sounded like the Jets have been interested in Mike Williams too for the last 3 years, according to Connor Hughes' reporting. And then he got the franchise tag and re-signed with the Chargers. And you know we're going to find him. You're going to find him on the outside. You know, Garrett Wilson's going to be the one that moves around based on matchup, based on play call. You did mention leverage advantage coverages and Aaron Rodgers' hand signals abandoning the play and just having like isolated route matchups. When people view Mike Williams or speak about wide receivers with size, they often think that, oh, red zone touchdowns, they're all going to go in his direction. I want to push back on that. I am still of the belief that Garrett Wilson is the one that is going to dominate red zone inside the 10, inside the 5 yard line targets because of that mind meld that we saw in preseason last year, the mind meld very similar that he had with Devontae Adams. Again, it is basically obeying the play and running whatever route, check, call, all that stuff like we all do in Madden back when we played. And to me, Garrett Wilson has more of like a route repertoire to his game in those situations than Mike Williams does. Although, again, just the size in that area of the field can definitely come in handy too.
Garrett Wilson right now is being drafted 12th overall. That's a little bit rich to me. I love Garrett Wilson, but that's a little bit rich. Like I think like Nico Collins has a case to go ahead of Garrett Wilson. Same thing with AJ Brown, some of the running backs. For Mike Williams' fantasy value, I think he's going too late. You said he's going, what, 114th overall? I have him ranked 80th overall. And I just want to throw out some wide receiver names to you to tell me if this is fair. Jordan Addison, Chris Godwin, Christian Watson, DeAndre Hopkins. That's a group of wide receivers right there. All good players. No, nobody fantastic in that group. Good players. All number twos. Why is Mike Williams going 40 picks, 50, 60 picks later than those other cats? I think that Aaron Rodgers is just as good of a quarterback as those other guys that they're dealing with. They're all number two wide receivers, and some of them dealing with injuries and age and stuff.
Right.
Why isn't Mike Williams in that tier?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, there's those two Packers wide receivers and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs that are like 82nd and 94th overall. That's not even mentioning Dontayvion Wicks. That's not even mentioning Jayden Reed, so on and so forth. So like one of those dudes isn't going to hit. And we know that if Mike Williams is on the field, he's going to be out there in two wide receiver sets. He's going to see a whole bunch of high value targets and important opportunities from Aaron Rodgers and this team. Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Myers is right there at 101.
Chris Godwin going way earlier. What's the difference? Like, you can't tell me that Chris Godwin is a better player than Mike Williams is. They're both dealing with injuries, and Aaron Rodgers is better than Baker Mayfield. It's like, I don't know. This seems like an arbitrage right here. Just, I think we got to treat injuries in September different than injuries in December. That's like 3 month difference here too.
And you and I also like to follow the money. I will say I was never going to follow the money last year with Alan Lazard. I thought he was completely overdrafted where he was being taken over an underdog fantasy. This is an abominable contract that he still gets though. I mean,
better than the Cobb contract.
Alan Lazard is going to still be on the team through this year. And even if he's cut in 2025, it looks like just looking at over the cap, they only get like $7 million of the $13 million back. Alan Lazard is like the one that is going to shift with Garrett Wilson as like sometimes being in the slot, sometimes being out wide. I don't know if this totally prevents them from taking a Brock Bowers type who can do the tight end stuff, who can obviously be that moving piece as well into the slot and a primary pass catcher too. what they have done, and I think Joe Douglas deserves praise here, because it was very easy to rag on the checklist that Aaron Rodgers brought to them last year before he was obviously added to the roster. I think he's done a really good job of filling these holes. Yes. Now, as we said, there's always questions with Tyron Smith or Morgan Moses staying on the field. You know, John Simpson is an awesome run blocking left guard, but at least all the holes are filled in the dam, and they can maybe get a bit creative here in the NFL draft.
I think Brock Bowers with these two wide receivers makes so much sense. Brock Bowers all in the flats. I mean, a freakazoid in the flats. Mike Williams near the sideline, down the field. Garrett Wilson, yards after the catch. Anything intermediate. Also, like you said, we saw some of the most ridiculous jump balls in the end zone as well. That's three wide receivers. This team plays slow. You don't need a third and fourth, fifth target. But I do think that Breece Hall and Brock Bowers in the flats with these two wide receivers on the perimeter, I think that's a really well-designed offense in general, and they just need to all stay healthy. But I understand going all in on Mike Williams in a year where everyone's got to stay healthy, because I think Mike Williams is still a really good player whenever he's on the field.
Yeah, and he was going to be signed by someone. It's just the Jets threw an up to $15 million contract to him, which makes a lot of sense.
Right.
We do want to add on Underdog Fantasy, you can draft right now. Breece Hall is already up as the sixth overall player, running back three. We mentioned this entire Jets network as something that we are interested in. If we look at the quarterback spot, Hayden, Aaron Rodgers is going as quarterback 21.
Yeah. The difference there, though, is he doesn't run at all. And so if he gets three touchdowns, 270 yards, he finishes like the quarterback 7, 8, 9 on the week. So I think I'd rather take the Breece Halls and his skill guys and then still find another quarterback. But if you want to throw him in there as your quarterback too, certainly. I just think that his ceiling now is more like quarterback 8, 9, 10. Like, maybe he has the bounce back Matthew Stafford season that we kind of seen before. I mean, hell, even Aaron Rodgers won the damn MVP in a bounce back season. I just think they have Breece Hall to kind of fall back to now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a rookie in Jaden Daniels is being taken just ahead of him because of that rushing that you talked about. But like Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford are a couple picks ahead of him too at the quarterback position. And they all fill that same, hey, this is the pathway to scoring points.
They also are not potentially becoming vice president too. So yeah, we have that.
I feel like in the world of streaming services, it is very easy to forget that you subscribe to a platform for just one show, one event, one game, and then get charged over and over and over again. We've all been there after checking our monthly bank statement, and that's just the start of the process. After that, you have to find out where to cancel, how to cancel, click on this button, that button, email this person, that person. But now there is one easy way to take care of all of that. It is Rocket Money. It shows you all of your subscriptions in one place and then cancels them for you, whichever ones you do not want. And in fact, Rocket Money can find subscriptions you did not even know you were paying for. That's like an extra, you know, 5, 10, 15 bucks that you found in your couch cushion. Again, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and helps save its members an average of $720 a year, with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So, stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/underdog. That is rocketmoney.com/underdog. rocketmoney.com/underdog.
I can never quit.
Today's episode is brought to you by Surfshark. You all know my obsession, Aston Villa Football Club, the greatest team in the world. Unfortunately, sometimes, because I live in Brooklyn, sitting in this apartment, I can't see specific content that is made around the club that is geared towards Europe, that is geared towards Great Britain. Those are geo-restricted. And that, my friends, is where a VPN comes in, and that is where Surfshark comes in. It can seem like I am sitting in a coffee shop in the heart of Birmingham, England, so I can watch the highlights or the commentary of Douglas Luiz curling a shot in the top right corner, or Leon Bailey putting three defenders on the grass with his 1, 2, 3 crossover moves. And it extends beyond that. Can't see a YouTube video because of your location? Use Surfshark VPN. Do you want a larger library of Netflix movies to access, like in Canada? Use Surfshark VPN. It's totally risk-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And on top of that, if you enter coupon code underdog for an extra 3 months, they will give you an extra 3 months free so you can secure your privacy with Surfshark. Just go to surfshark.deals/underdog. Go and use it. It's super easy. Curtis Samuel, and neither can the Buffalo Bills. A 3-year contract, $24 million with $15 million in guarantees. Just to put it in perspective, it's about the same numbers that the likes of Adam Thielen, Juju Smith-Schuster, Zay Jones got in the last couple of years. We know that this team just lost Gabriel Davis to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but signing Curtis Samuel Hayden isn't exactly like a one-to-one fill-in role type, body type for this roster.
It's exactly the opposite, in fact. last year, Curtis Samuel had 6 routes in 2 wide receiver sets. Khalil Shakir also had 2. So combined, they have 8. Keep in mind, the Buffalo Bills have Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. Right. In theory, they want to run 12 personnel. So my question kind of about the signing is, I love Curtis Samuel. No questions about that. He's a good, productive player, especially with Joe Brady. It's what is the identity of the Buffalo Bills? Are they going to just throw Curtis Samuel to the perimeter in 2 wide receiver sets? We've seen that at glimpses.
Yep.
It's not his best role. Or is a true X wide receiver coming? And that might just come in the NFL draft. And then we kind of figure out that Khalil Shakir is the number 4, Curtis Samuel is number 3. And then we have Steph Diggs in this new number 1.
Okay, where do you think we should start? Should we start with an isolated evaluation of Curtis Samuel's talent? Because I think he is one of the more underrated route runners in the NFL. Now, I've also felt that way since he basically entered the league alongside of DJ Moore. My buddy Matt Harmon has said somewhat similar things. I think that goes back to, you know, our times in the depths of Twitter arguing DJ Moore versus Curtis Samuel at times on that hellscape of a website. But what he does bring is yards after the catch opportunities. I think he really does do a good job of kind of continuing his momentum there, and that you can utilize him in almost all 3 wide receiver alignments. He can work as an outside wide receiver. He can definitely work in the slot where he spent most of his time. And with the league focusing on motion and getting someone free separation at the line of scrimmage and at the snap, I wonder if Joe Brady's going to incorporate that even more. In fact, they were 10th in motion rate when Joe Brady took over in week 11 and beyond. They were 22nd before that with Ken Dorsey. So I do wonder if Curtis Samuel is kind of going to be this pre-snap chess piece speed type option that they bring to the Buffalo Bills offense in 2024.
I like Curtis Samuel more in the slot. I think he can be a vertical slot because he has that skill set that you're talking about. He is a good route runner, so you just don't have to keep him on these little drag routes and quick outs. He can do more than that, but I think that his size is a little bit limiting on the outside, especially next to Steph Diggs and James Cook and Dalton Kincaid. Too much of a finesse offense if that's like the final piece. Remember, we're moving Gabe Davis, who did all the dirty work in this offense. And then going back to how Joe Brady used him, because back in 2020, Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator for Curtis Samuel on the Panthers. In that season, he had his career low playing on the outside at 21% of his snaps. And then he also had a career high in rush attempts up at 41, which is a lot for a wide receiver.
Yeah, it's so 77 backfield snaps that season.
So he can do all of that kind of fun motion stuff that you're talking about. I think that Joe Brady wants him in that role, which means to me, I think this is not the final move for Buffalo in terms of the wide receiver group. In my opinion, it doesn't have to be in the first round, but if they go like Xavier Leggett in the second round or something like that, I would totally understand how that kind of starts to fit this entire role here. But like you said, starting with just the Curtis Samuel evaluation, good player, really good deal, waiting a little bit in free agency to pick up this kind of value. I think, in my opinion, he's just a straight up better player than Darnell Mooney. It's not the exact same type of profile, but for my buck, I would rather have Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, and I mentioned the Juju Smith-Schusters, the Adam Thielens, the Zay Joneses. I know at least one of those guys has 1,000 yards on their record the last couple of years, but I think Curtis Samuel's a better player than that. Again, I think he attacks, you know, the blind spots of corners quite well, keeps them on their heels, uses pace and momentum, especially in man coverage. And I think he's improved in zone coverage on top of that. Yeah. So to fit in this offense, Gabriel Davis, despite his size, has been somewhat of a limited player. He is a role player, right? He only attacks certain areas of the field for you. Now, Curtis Samuel doesn't have the same size, so he's not going to be locked into that almost same alignment over and over again. But he is not limited to me in where he attacks the field in terms of blades of grass. He can win vertically. He can be a manufacturer touch guy at the line of scrimmage. He can work quick 3-5 step patterns over the middle of the field too. And you can get the ball in his hands and he can win after catch. Plus, I actually think that we saw last year with Sam Howell, who likes to do the hokey pokey at times in the pocket. We did see some scramble drill stuff, which we know Josh Allen is accustomed to doing. So while it's not the true one-to-one replacement here for Gabriel Davis as a vertical downfield, big-bodied contested catch or sideline field stretcher, I do think he brings more elements to this offense. And maybe that's what they want. They don't want to be, this is just this one guy that's a singular linear role player. And they want to be a bit more expansive on top of that, because as you mentioned, the slot is where he's made his home. In fact, 404 slot snaps last year versus 144 out wide. Do we think that Dalton Kincaid is also going to play a lot in the slot as well? Right. Or do they envision him moving maybe more to the perimeter a bit more often than we saw last year too?
Yeah, that's where I think it's too early to kind of tell what the final game plan is for the Bills offense here, because to me, it's a lot of players that can kind of, because remember, Steph Diggs also works inside on occasion too.
As well. They all move around.
I know. But they're also like, if it's Shakir, Curtis Samuel and Diggs, right, we're talking about 5'11", 190 across the board. I mean, you don't see many three wide receiver sets, including with your tight end that's going to be on the field, also undersized versus other tight ends. That would be one of the smallest offense. Obviously, you have Josh Allen running right over linebackers. That makes up for it. But it is a weird dynamic between just this final group. So I'm guessing we'll see a huge wide receiver in the first or second round, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Leggett, something like that. And then all of a sudden, Khalil goes back to the wide receiver four role. They rotate a little bit, Curtis Samuel on the motion stuff, and now you have a well-balanced offense.
Isn't that doing Khalil Shakir a bit dirty, though? Because like every time he has played, he's made things happen. Yeah,
right. But then why would you sign Curtis Samuel and not like Mike Williams, for example? Yeah. You know, like it's a little bit more redundant here.
To your point on the two tight end sets, we know that Dawson Knox missed some time last year. We know that Dalton Kincaid missed some time. But when Joe Brady took over as the team's play caller back in week 11, they were 12th in the league in 11 personnel, 68% of the time. And they were 25th in 12 personnel at just 14% of the time. I mean, in order to get the most out of Dalton Kincaid, and we know, I believe that the Dawson Knox deal got restructured along the way, but those are supposedly two important players for your offense, that's going to have to increase. So if we are talking about two wide receiver sets, I think at the very least, you and I can say that Curtis Samuel will be on the field over Khalil Shakir.
I completely agree with that. I think he's a better, well-rounded, more veteran player. So yeah, and I think Curtis Samuel can do that. Do you want him to be your second wide receiver? No, I think in a perfect world, if you're winning the Super Bowl, Curtis Samuel is a lights out number three option, but maybe they're kind of thinking, well, we're expecting huge numbers from Kincaid, and we can kind of work with having the not the most ideal three wide receiver set if we're going to be using Dalton Kincaid more as a receiver. So a very interesting dynamic. I'm looking forward to it. We don't see many offenses kind of built like this, especially when you have the quarterback being able to do what he does. So, yeah, this even if he does stay in the slot, he's not your traditional slot wide receiver. You're going to see the manufactured stuff. But like you said, it's every grade, every blade of grass,
totally,
including the downfield stuff. So more of like the Christian Kirk kind of mold here as the vertical slot wide receiver, not the Danny Amendola type.
And there might be this perception out there for Curtis Samuel, because we kind of saw it over the last few years with the Commanders, that he is more just like an at the line of scrimmage, manufactured touch type player. I think he is more than that. Now, I will add, again, it's been 613 and 656 receiving yards over the last few years. And you said it, his best season was with Joe Brady back in 2020. He had 1,000 total yards, including 851 receiving yards that year. And my buddy Billy M always loves to throw this tweet out there. And Curtis Samuel even said that Joe Brady was a major reason why he signed with the Buffalo Bills. Quote, back in October 15 of 2020, any kind of success we have is because of Curtis Samuel. So much of what he does doesn't show up on the stat sheet. So with that said, Hayden, right now on Underdog Fantasy, Curtis Samuel is being drafted as the wide receiver 65. That is just above second-year players like Marvin Mims Jr. and Michael Wilson, behind Brandon Cooks and Quentin Johnston and Dontavian Wicks. How are you feeling?
I have him ranked 114th overall. Do you see the overall ADP?
144 right overall.
Yeah, so I think I'm closer to this. Next to like Jacoby Myers, Ladd McConkey, the incoming rookie, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, Brandon Cooks, that's kind of the range I have him in. So a tier above that. I just think it's because we'll see what Buffalo does, how fast they run, especially if you have a bunch of really quick wide receivers manufactured touches, you can see that Curtis Samuel in like a no huddle, throw the ball quick, move motion, flipping the ball to him and start wrapping up some of this PPR scamming stuff. But he's a better player than that.
Yeah. You know, I was going to be in basically wherever he fell to. And the Buffalo Bills to me is like an ideal landing spot in some ways. And I want to reiterate, this guaranteed money goes into next season. Like, he is locked into this team for the next 2 years at the very least. We know that Stephon Diggs right now is 31 years old. It's pretty cool for Curtis Samuel to get his third contract in the NFL at his age 28 season.
And his first real quarterback will be this year. Which will be
true. It's true. How dare you say that about Teddy Bridgewater? Okay. That's going to do it. As you all know, we have plenty of other videos just like this one. Why blank team signed X player. So go and watch all of them. And we're pushing out a bunch of NFL draft content on the way. So hit that subscribe button, leave a thumbs up, and we'll see you on the next one.